Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, May 25th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, I feel like the last few days we've been swimming in news and everything's been weird. Things have been delayed and they haven't been coming out when we thought they would. Today, at least news-wise, we can take a deep breath. Nothing major broke yesterday. The one thing that did break that was major is that the band's visit is going to open at the Barrymore Theater or begin previews on October 7th. But if everybody refreshed their podcast feeds at 9 a.m. like we instructed them to, they've already heard us talk about that. So that was really the only big news on Wednesday. So we've got kind of a show that's got a little news, but a decent amount of recommendations. So those are always fun to talk about.
You know, I had the night sweats thinking that I accidentally released the wrong show.
Oh, I'm sure you would have heard from it, heard from producers if that had happened.
All right. First up in the news, Santina Fontana set to lead the June reading of Tootsie musical.
Yeah, that's really the whole story there, James. We've already talked about this Tootsie musical reading that's going to happen on June 8th with a book by David Yazbek, who, again, coming to Broadway with the band's visit. The book is going to be written by Robert Horn. The score is by David Yazbek. It'll be directed by Scott Ellis. We told you about that earlier this week. But now, apparently, Santino Fontana is going to play the I don't think the character's name is Tootsie, but it's the Dustin Hoffman role. I don't know how I feel about that, James.
He seems so young. Santino seems too young for that, but maybe just because – you know, I have an unnatural image of him in my head.
Well, but I think, again, it's been probably decades since I've seen Tootsie. But, like, in the movie, I think the whole point is that Dustin Hoffman is, like, a career character actor who's just getting too old to get parts anymore. Like, Santino Fontana is, I don't know that he would be, like, the strapping leading man, you know, epitome. He's a good-looking guy who's barely, like, not even mid-30s. Like, I think you're right. It doesn't seem like, despite as much as I appreciate Santino, I think he's an incredible actor and a great singer. It just seems like a weird casting to me. But who knows? You know, if we talk about, like, with My Fair Lady, that someone like Melissa Errico or Kelly O'Hara or Laura Benanti can play Eliza, if we can go the other way and have a younger male actor play an older male character, who knows? Whatever.
Yeah, it's just a reading.
That's true.
All right. Broadway casting fraud case heads to court.
Oh, damn it. I don't want to talk about this again. James, you will remember that back in January, we bemoaned about the fact that a case in which a production company allegedly took hundreds of thousands of dollars from other production companies on the assumption that they had lined up Hollywood stars to lead stage productions in New York and Toronto. Starvox Entertainment, as you'll remember, or maybe blocked out, is suing Rubicon Falls Entertainment and June Entertainment because Starvox claims that the latter two lied about casting Al Pacino, Keira Knightley, Miley Cyrus, and Gary Oldman, not in the same show, but in different shows, including a revival of Grease with Miley. Okay. And they even went so far as to forge contracts with Keira Knightley's manager's name, and Starvox only became aware of it when they talked to Keira Knightley's manager, and he said, "That's not my signature, and Keira's just had a baby. She's not looking to do anything." Well, that case is now in court. The Starvox team, led by Corey Ross, claims that the other companies misrepresented things, and he's added a defamation suit because June Entertainment is saying that this is all a big big fake news stir up because Starvox still owes them money for that failed David Arquette Sherlock Holmes tour that bombed a few years ago. James, the Hollywood Reporter article, which we'll link to in the show notes, has some crazy legal arguments from both sides trying to argue jurisdiction in that offer sheets are not the same as contracts. And just even though they forged a signature on an offer sheet, it's not real. I don't understand all that, to be quite honest with you. I don't even think I really want to. But this whole thing is just like, to quote the great Hall of Fame NFL football player Chris Carter, come on, man.
All right, let's switch to some good news here. So Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York, donates $75 million to a new arts center.
Yeah.
I want to stop for a second. $75 million, isn't that – Michael Bloomberg donated what the equivalent of the new National Endowments of the Arts entire budget is?
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is pretty close. But he's donated $75 million to the Shed, which is a new art center planned for Hudson Yards. The donation marks an additional $60 million to the 15 that he had privately made in 2012. In a statement, Bloomberg said, "I've always believed the arts have a unique ability to benefit cities by attracting creative individuals of every kind, strengthening communities, and driving economic growth. The Shed will help New York achieve all three goals. To date, according to Playbill, $421 million of the $500 million capital campaign, which includes startup cost, has been raised." That's awesome. We've talked about a couple of these type of things where big money folks have donated to arts projects and arts constructions. And I don't see anything other than just praise to heap on the people who have the means to do this, putting their money here. And I, you know, I'm happy for them, especially when it seems like we've got an administration that is looking to strip all federal funding from the arts, like you said.
And Hudson Yards. I don't know, Matt, are you familiar with Hudson Yards? It's this big, huge area on the west side of Manhattan in the 30s where all the trains were, or Penn Station, after a train pulls out of Penn Station, it can pull into Hudson Yards to be, train hotel sleepy place.
That train hotel sleepy place? Is that the technical term?
It's too much Thomas Train, I guess. I don't know.
fair.
All right. What's up in the recommendations?
Okay, the first is this really fascinating piece from the New York Times. Apparently, 5 years ago, when Laurie Metcalf was doing Long Day's Journey Into Night in London, and Nathan Lane was doing the Iceman Cometh in Chicago, they traded emails back and forth about doing Eugene O'Neill plays. Apparently, this month, at the behest of the New York Times, the two started emailing back and forth again. This time, the other way around, though. Laurie Metcalf is in New York doing A Doll's House Part 2, and Nathan Lane is over in London doing Angels in America. So they've gone back and forth, and they write these emails, and look, these are two of the best actors of their generation, both on stage and screen, and to see them talk about their craft and their characters is really, really cool. But I love some of the little nuances, like in one of the first paragraph of Nathan Lane's email, he says, "As you know, I'm the president of the Laurie Metcalf fan club, so I'll admit I'm prejudiced." Like, these, I don't know. It's that whole "they're just like us" thing. Like, how many times, I can't tell you how many times I've talked about being a part of someone's fan club, even though I'm not really. But it's really cool to see them kind of go on and on about talking about other shows. They did a show together. They did a show called November together a few years on Broadway, as I'm sure you'll remember. So they talk about that. It's just really cool. I really enjoyed reading this, and so I hope everyone else checks it out as well.
And our friends over Curtain Call in London, probably hanging out with Nathan, having martinis these days. They dreamcast the West End production of Hamilton. So they came up with some great names.
Yeah, what they did is they looked at five actors who could play the lead role. Some of them are possibilities. Some of them not so much possibilities. the first one they lead off with, of course, is Lin-Manuel Miranda. I think Lin is on record as saying that he is unlikely to open the show because he's incredibly busy, and they mentioned this in the article. The next one, though, James, really, really fascinates me. Are you familiar with Riz Ahmed?
No, I'm not. Who is Riz?
Okay, Riz is the next guy on the list. He was the star opposite John Turturro in HBO's crime court drama The Night Of. Was that last year or this year? He was great. He was also in Star Wars Rogue One. He was also in Girls. I think he was Lena Dunham's boyfriend on Girls in the final season. But he's also a rapper. So he's an acclaimed actor. He has a rap background. And I believe he's friends with Lin. I think they post on Twitter together. So that would be really interesting. Another one that I think is probably not going to happen is Denise Gough, who won an Olivier for People, Places, and Things. One reason I think that's not going to happen is because Hamilton is opening in the West End in November, and Denise is scheduled to bring People, Places, and Things over to, I want to say, St. Anne's or BAM in the fall. So that's probably not going to happen. They also go on to talk about Sam McKay, who played Usnavi in In the Heights in London, and then Tyrone Huntley, who is a West End star, been in Memphis, Jesus Christ Superstar, and Dreamgirls. So those are their main five. Their honorable mention, though, James, I think if they could arrange this somehow, I think even the West End production of Hamilton would dwarf the ticket prices of New York, because honorable mention, they mention Barack Obama to play Alexander Hamilton. I don't think that's what the former president is looking to do with his time, but could you imagine?
Oh, that would be just awesome. I can't even imagine.
We've heard him sing, not great, but then again, Lynn's not a great singer either. So, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Josh Ferry, our friend Josh Ferry over at Broadway Box, talked to Rachel Chopkin about her season this year. So what's up with that?
She's had one of the best runs over the last year or so that I think probably any director has had in terms of creating new exploratory out-of-the-box works. Obviously, she's represented on Broadway right now with Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. But off-Broadway, she's also had the boxing show The Royale. She's had Small Mouth Sounds, which is going on a national tour now. And she's had Hadestown, which apparently is still being rumored for a Broadway transfer from New York Theatre Workshop. They go through seven questions talking about everything from how she knows who she wants to work with, how she's able to kill her darlings, talking about, you know, like what her dream job is. It's really a fascinating article. And James, we talked about Rachel a year ago, it seems like now, just about how she's kind of leading this revolution of not quite immersive theater, but a more immersive theater that is really starting to take hold in and around New York and around the country. So it's a great article, because I have a feeling that if she doesn't win a Tony this year for Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, which I think she probably will, she will be someone who will be making waves on and off Broadway for years and years to come.
Oh, wait, which story is this? Is this five? No, it's six. It's seven. Five, six, seven, eight.
Yeah. Yes, that is the last recommendation I want to give. And this is a little self-promoting because it is a Broadway World web series, I guess. But every Tuesday, the incredibly hilarious Ellen Marie Marsh, Andrew Bratis, Andrew Chappelle, and Julie Madison release a new episode of their show, Turning the Tables. The first season was they had casting directors like Tara Rubin and Bernie Telsey audition for them, and they put them through it. The second season, they've had people audition for things. First off, it started with Leslie Margarita and Christopher Rodriguez auditioning for roles they've already played. And in this new episode, I can't tell you, it's like 15 minutes long. I laughed out loud so much. It was so great. What they did, it's a dance call audition. So they have seven Broadway dancers who are so good, and they put them through their paces. It's hilarious. They've got our friend Nika Graf Lanzaroni, Neil Haskell, Eloise Kropp, Christopher Rice, Samantha Sturm, Clay Thompson, and Cody Williams. It's hilarious. I laughed so hard at this. So definitely check that one out. If you need something to pick you up on your Thursday, Turning the Tables Dance Call is perfection.
All right. On that note, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Hey, look at that. It's Thursday already, and we're coming into a big weekend. So thanks for joining us today, and we'll be back and launch your long weekend tomorrow.